was looking while he was addressing the media on the mononucleosis diagnosis for his quarterback, Sam Darnold. Man, I was writing big checks yesterday. I was telling the Twitter world that I was going to don a Browns sport coat. I even went as far as to looking up how much it would cost me to purchase a Browns sport coat. I was all in on the Jets winning the game this week. Now, Trevor Siemian will quarterback the Jets, and I am not interested in making any guarantees, although I haven't ruled, I have not ruled it out. I mean, I think it's going to be a much tougher road to hoe with the Jets backup. Le'Veon Bell also didn't practice yesterday, so it's a problem. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Did you ever have mono?
Orlando. Never had mono. Nope.
I never have mono. I know people that did, man. It puts you out. I really don't understand that disease. I guess it's some kind of disorder of the immune system, and it puts you out for 6 weeks. I mean, a kissing disease shouldn't be the same thing as a sprained ankle, right? Ravis, you ever had mono?
Always, I have not.
I was always kissing clean girls, Mark. You know, I don't. Is that the only way you contract it?
That's no, what I always it is not the only kid. Way you can contract it.
Oh, how else do you contract it?
It's just like any other kind of viral infection. I mean, if somebody's not being hygienic. Yeah.
You're saying, you are saying it comes from dirty people.
Yeah, in a way.
That's exactly
sure.
What he's saying.
But
so
it's
like
not
if
just
I shake the hand,
not just from kissing.
Dirty people.
If I shake the hand of a dirty person highly. And touch my mouth, can I get mono?
Speaks highly of all those that we have kissed, the three of us, that we've never right. contracted the mononucleosis. It's often
clean
called
living.
The kissing disease. This computer, here it goes again. It's switching my browser.
It probably speaks to how fortunate we are more than anything, but go ahead.
That's a great point.
I've only kissed two people in my life. It's an infectious illness that's called a kissing disease. While you can get the virus that causes it through kissing, you can also get it in other ways like sharing drinks or utensils. It's contagious, but you're less likely to catch mono than other illnesses like the common cold. Huh.
I
well,
kissed
no Sam Darnold.
Girl and I liked it. Little Katy Perry
that's a weird
there
deal.
On a Thursday.
Uh-oh. It's part of the herpes family.
Uh-oh. Don't want to be in that group.
I'm going to assume that none of us have herpes
Not
either.
That there's anything wrong with that.
Herpes?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Now I'm even less interested in asking that question.
Only the truth for me, Mark.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you who's got something worse than herpes. That's the Team USA basketball. They lost again. What's going on?
7 points in a quarter? Seven.
Greg Popovich is coaching this team.
Seven. Did I read that headline right? I can't act as if I watched it. But I saw a headline on ESPN.com that Team USA scored 7 points in a quarter. Is that accurate, fellas?
In a consolation round.
7 points in a quarter?
You're saying it's even worse that it's in a consolation
yes,
round.
Exactly. Like that makes it even worse.
They should play with some pride. Jerry Colangelo's come out and said that he's not going to forget the guys at Bale on the team. I don't know if that's the
it's
right
like
person
the whole
to have.
NBA. It's like you're fighting the league.
I think now that you're losing games to these teams that you probably want to feel the best team possible, and you might beg those guys to come back.
Yeah, don't be shaming
what
them
What does
now.
That say about, though?
I mean,
there's some good players that are playing here, and they're getting beat. Like, again, the guys that were beating them from France the other night in the first round, Evan Fournier and
Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert, which are good players, but I think that the United States should be able to trot out some players that can match Evan Fournier. Maybe, Rudy Gobert at least contend with him.
Yeah, they made Frank Ntilikina from the Knicks look like a stud the other day. And then Serbia's got, Nikola Jokic. They got one of the Bogdanoviches. I always get them mixed up. I think it's Bogdan. They got some decent players.
It's okay. I confuse your Bogdanovich. It's all right.
I try never to do that, but it happens.
Hey, we have a very busy show today. It's a Thursday, one of my favorite days of the week. We're going to talk with Todd Furman. We'll get his insight and knowledge from the desert on this weekend's cards of professional football and college football. We will make our picks at 1 o'clock today. And then, again, I've got a lot of different small subjects today. I might be a little cranky, so I just want to let you guys know ahead of time because I'm at Chapel Supply today. They're having a huge one-day sale. It's Customer Appreciation Day, 39 years of business. We love Chapel Supply, man. Get yourself a pressure washer. They do a great job. But there is an incredible spread of barbecue here. And so this past week, I've been practicing discipline with my diet.
Yeah.
I know that's a shock to many people.
Proud of you, bud.
So I went into the store, and I bought myself apples. And I figured that I'm going to
red or green?
Red apples, red delicious. Mm. That
crispy?
I was going to eat an apple. Yeah. Mushy apple, got to go. So yeah. I'm going to eat an apple, have a little protein every day for lunch before the show, kind of get my body going. You know what I'm saying? Not wait till after the show to eat something. And then, you know, have one more meal in the evening of kind of protein and maybe a vegetable or something like that for dinner. And so I'm on a hell of a run, Dusty, right now. I mean, we're looking at close to, we're coming up on 80 hours of this. I mean, what a streak. I mean, it's great effort and profiles and courage. But I'm doing a good job right now. I feel like I'm holding off on going over there and loading up a plate of barbecue. 12 Things the Beard had 3 people's portion today, by the way. So maybe I'm not even invited.
I got a couple things here. Well, number one, I'm proud of you. This is great stuff.
Dustin.
Okay. Number two, 12 Things the Beard can eat more food for a man his size than anyone. He's in the wrong industry. He should be one of those professional eaters. I don't know where he puts all the food he eats, Mark. It's insane. Maybe it's in the beard. I don't know. And I would just say that it's all about portion control. And you said you're eating high protein. You could probably find some barbecue over there and just get rid of some of the fat. Oh.
See what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. And I feel better. The portion control is making me feel better because sometimes my mom would have said my eyes are bigger than my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'll take that. I've had that problem forever.
Take that.
Here's what you got to do.
So I'm working on my portion control.
When you woke up this morning and you looked in that mirror, you felt pretty good, didn't you? You're like, damn, I look good. Just, it's okay. You know you did.
Not ready for that stage yet. I'm just saying that I feel a little
just
bit better.
Just think about that, though. Just think about that. When you want to go over there and you want to get that big plate of deliciousness, just think about how delicious you looked in that mirror this morning, okay? That's your motivation.
That is my motivation. You know, though, there comes a certain age, like even with like Jack LaLanne, no matter how ripped you are at 70, there's just no need to see it. Leave that to the young people.
Yeah,
60, 50, probably. I think 50 probably. Yeah, right. I mean, you know, nobody's like, oh, that's a hot body. 50. They don't say it like that.
Speak for yourself. I don't know, man.
Okay.
There's some attractive 50-year-olds out there that they want to parade around in their undergarments, and they're more than welcome to.
Well, it was an interesting morning with the Jets. I mean, Le'Veon Bell doesn't practice. I mean, I this game was kind of setting up, and again, I really almost did yesterday when I sent that tweet out. I was going to come up with 20 reasons why the Jets were going to beat the Browns, and I can just wad that up and throw it in the trash right now. Without Sam Darnold, I don't think there's much of a chance for an upset in that game. So it's a really pretty lucky break for Cleveland, who, Dusty, by the way, it's just as bad off the field as it was on the field for the Browns, because they can't find the right guy who dumped a beer on one of the Titans, and they banned somebody that was innocent.
I wasn't even at the game. He wasn't even there.
He was at a wedding. At a wedding. You know?
By the way,
he gave up his ticket to what was the most highly anticipated Browns opener in who knows how long. They just decide we're going to ban him.
He got punished for making the right choice. Not going.
But, that's correct. But, that's
okay,
what I was trying to say.
Here's the deal, though. Who gets married, okay, in Cleveland on a Sunday of the opening weekend of the NFL? That's just selfish.
It depends on how long the wedding has been scheduled.
What do you mean how long the wedding's been scheduled? Everybody knows opening weekend of the NFL. It's the first Sunday, the first weekend after Labor Day. It's pretty simple. Steer clear.
What I'm saying is I'm saying that the wedding could have been scheduled maybe for a year, 2 years before Baker Mayfield arrived. I don't know. I'm just making
that's
up
a good
excuse
point.
For it. But
that's
yeah,
a good point.
No, I'm with you. Look, I'm football through and through. You shouldn't schedule a wedding on a day of a game because you're going to find out how people put their priorities, which is on football.
Yeah, it's America. Football is king. There's no question. What else, Mark? Anything else agitating you, or did you get everything off your chest? What else? You got anything else?
There's a couple other small things, too. I saw Kobe was kind of coming at throwing some shade at Devin Booker on the pickup basketball stuff. Okay. Right? There's a lot of unwritten rules for pickup basketball. There's unwritten rules in sports, but you know, you can't be the guy out there trying to win an all-star appearance in a pickup basketball game. Right? I mean, if you're going up against somebody in a pickup basketball game that's a superstar, you kind of have to let them superstar. You don't run a trap at them. Everybody's at the gym trying to have a good time, right? I mean, you shouldn't be out there checking somebody where you're denying the basketball or you're up in there where you can smell what they have for breakfast. I mean, everybody's just trying to get in a little sweat, trying to have a little fun. And if you're not the best player in the game, find a game with some kids or something like that. I don't know. Right, Ravis?
Matt Ravis found a game with some kids.
Yeah. I would highly recommend pick up basketball with people you are at least a head taller than. It's a lot of fun.
That does make you feel better.
Yes,
if you're
it
better than them. But if you're in a game in which you're not better, then you kind of have to defer to the guys that are better. You don't want to go out there and break somebody's arm trying to foul them.
His whole thing was that we are trying to get better. And I feel like if you're trying to get better, then beat a double team, right? It's because you're going to see those all season long.
Matt, that's a high-level pickup game. Hang on. You're saying you disagree with Mark, right?
Yes.
Matt? Yeah, so do I. Finally, you and I agree on something. What the hell are you talking about, Mark? Are you trying to say that if someone's better than you, just cower down and let them dominate you? That's absurd.
I'm not saying not to try, but a pickup basketball game isn't fighting
for
territory.
You need to eat more meat. Go get a damn plate of meat and be a man again. I don't know what's going on with you right now.
I might have iron deficiency, which would also probably make me susceptible to mono.
You need to be careful, Mark.
I would say I'm the exact opposite of that. If I'm doing anything and someone's better than me, I'm going to try like hell to beat them. I mean, all of a sudden now I'm more motivated than ever. I mean, come on. Do you have any competitive juices anymore? Now that I'm trying to
lose some weight and I'm a little bit weaker, the last thing I ever want to do is get on a pickup basketball court with Dusty. He's going to put me into the swimming pool at the Y.
Damn right I am.
Going to foul the you-know-what out of me.
I get as many fouls as I want pickup. That's why I like it so much. I only had five back in.
Oh, you don't tell me either one of you guys are the guy that's calling fouls all the time.
No, that's like, a weak move.
I can't stand. I am not a fan of that. And it's always late, right? Foul. Like what? Hey, a foul?
Off the bounce, right?
Yeah. That's just. Now that we can agree on, Mark. But
you
want to
take a charge
down,
in a pickup game?
Cowering down to a more talented opponent.
You're gonna stand in there like somebody's gonna give you a praise for getting the you know what run over you in a pickup basketball game.
I just want the loyal listeners of the Monsters of the Midday to know we don't stand for that up in here. Not up in here. What you're trying to spit out there today, Mark. Don't you tell our people that if they're ever in a situation where somebody is superior to them, they cower down?
The less accessories, the better in a pickup basketball game, too. Like, you don't need a bunch of wristbands. You're not going to make the all-star team.
You're not playing NBA 2K.
Jackie Moon?
Right. Everybody's trying to do the same thing. You can't be the guy that shoots 60% of the time unless you're that guy that's that good to shoot 60% of the time. And then, again, what do you get after you walk out of the Y? Nobody's going to hand you a medal or ask you to come up and play with the AAA franchise. You don't get to go from the Norman Y game to the Oklahoma City Y game. There's no scouts in the arena. Probably all the ladies that you think are hot walking around the track aren't really even paying attention to you anyway. So it doesn't matter. All right, enough of that. We got a great show today, and we are here at Chapel Supply where they're having their one-day customer appreciation celebration. 39 years of business. Special markdowns on hot water pressure washers, register for door prizes and giveaways. They have a delicious barbecue lunch that I would highly recommend based on looks. So come in here to see us today at Chapel Supply, 6509 West Reno. You can visit them online at chapelsupply.com. Todd Furman joins us next here on the Monsters of the Midday.
The Morning Animals.
I do have some breaking bad news.
Let's welcome in the man from the Bet the Board podcast, Lock It In, Fox Sports 1, Todd Furman. Todd, what's happening?
Not a whole heck of a lot, gentlemen. Wishing we could hit the fast-forward button on this week's slate of college football to next week, where at least we'll have some matchups that probably bear watching.
Wow, well, you better be watching it. Hang on now. Hey, hang on. Don't be besmirching Stanford going all the way across the country to take on the UCF Black Knights. Come on, Todd.
Yeah, this game loses a little bit of luster, Dusty, after I watched the Stanford Cardinal turn Kidon Slovis into the second coming of Matt Leinart and Carson Palmer last weekend. I'm not sure what the Cardinal are going to have in the tank for this game without Walker Little on their offensive line, knowing they have a massive game on deck with Oregon, not to basically disparage UCF, but again, everything seems to be coming up Josh Heupel and the Golden Knights.
There's been some upsets, though, that would consistently happen, and sometimes, again, you will have an upset considered in the poll that's not an upset according to Las Vegas. So is there anyone in the top 25 this week that you would put on upset alert?
Well, I think the lowest hanging fruit there would be where game day is going to Ames, Iowa, where you've seen this number kind of ping pong all over the place with Iowa State opening a 1-point favorite. Number moving as far as Iowa, 2.5-point chalk and a little bit of buyback on the underdog here. One of the lowest totals on the board as far as Power 5 conference opponents are concerned. And when you look at Iowa State, I think a lot of people ready to hit the panic button for how the offense looked against UNI in their opener. But Brock Purdy didn't run the ball at all. And I really believe Matt Campbell did that by design, wasn't going to tip his hand in terms of the game plan you were going to see in this particular spot. It almost reminds me of a few years ago when Oklahoma State took on Boise, and the quarterback run element was a massive part of what the Cowboys did to find success. Boise didn't prepare for it, and the rest was history. So I look at Ames. Jack Trice Stadium should be jumping. I think Iowa State has a great chance to upset, and I use it with air quotes, the Iowa Hawkeyes this weekend.
Sharing a brain today, Todd. One for one. I like what I'm hearing here. I want to stay.
Bestie is Swiss size in this game.
I told you last hour I was on Iowa State. I'm in agreement. I want to stay in the Big 12, and I want to talk about Texas Tech heading out to Tucson, Arizona. I've looked at this Arizona Wildcats pass defense, and it might be as bad as there is in college football, and I'm not kidding. I got to feel like Alan Bowman is going to go out there and light the world on fire, and Texas Tech is going to go out there and easily cover this too. What do you say, Todd?
Well, I think this is one of the more fascinating games of the weekend, and I believe it's one of the only games that's on in that 9:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central kickoff spot to try and showcase two teams that I think had a lot to prove to me as far as where they were going to be in their respective conference pecking orders. Arizona, we saw on full display, turning the ball over 6 times in week 0 against Hawaii, almost had a chance to win that game despite being an 11-point favorite, and on the wrong side of the where they wanted to be. You look at Texas Tech, and this team's still untested. I don't really put a whole lot of stock in that win against UTEP, not exactly college football royalty there. So for me, I'm not going to take the low-hanging fruit and go over the total. 73, numbers out to 77. I honestly don't know where the stops come here. Arizona can be a different beast when they're playing at home. Khalil Tate, whether it's running or throwing, I think will get his. You mentioned what we're going to see from Alan Bowman in this Tech offense. I think we're going to see them put up points. First team to 40 wins. I'll go over the total, and I'll leave the side alone.
Yeah, that's right. Low-hanging fruit sometimes is delicious. Okay, there are two games, Todd, that I just worked myself up into a frenzy that I couldn't. I just keep liking more and more and more and more and more.
That always troubles me, Mark. That always troubles me when you get yourself that excited about a game 48 hours before it's slated to kick off.
Hopefully you aren't on this side, but I like the Tulsa side in the Oklahoma State game, plus the points. Better defense at home, and I think that I'm worried about Oklahoma State's elite playmakers, Chuba Hubbard and Tylan Wallace, but other than that, I think the Tulsa team can move the football a little bit on Oklahoma State, and I think it'll be a low-scoring game within the 14.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is a game that, I mean, my numbers made it 13, so I think oddsmakers did a fine job opening the price. The one thing that I can tell you is that books will have a little bit of liability going to this game because 9 out of every 10 tickets are coming in on the road favorite. This is, as you guys know all too well, kind of big brother against little brother. Oklahoma State, all the pressure in the world on them. Tulsa can come into this, kind of play it free and easy. If the number got through 14 out to 14.5, I could actually see making a strong case for the Golden Hurricane. Worry a little bit if they have to play from behind. Do they have the firepower to come back against Oklahoma State, but I think it's dog or pass in this spot. So I actually would echo your sentiments here, Marco.
Todd, I don't have power numbers, but I had to give this this score on Sunday, and I had it as a 13-point win for OSU. So again, we're very much in line sharing a brain. Let's see if we're sharing one here. I'm just sold all stock in Chip Kelly and UCLA because everyone has. I thought the fact that UCLA is giving away tickets, begging anyone to show up in the Rose Bowl, tells me there likely will be more Oklahoma fans out in L.A. than there will be Bruins fans. That offensive line is terrible. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, all he does is turn the football over. I don't know. I just don't see how UCLA is going to cover the 23.5.
Yeah, this is the kind of game that I typically shy away from, honestly. When you look at the numbers here, 19.5 all the way out to 22.5. If this game was played week one, guys, Oklahoma would have been about a 10-11 point favorite. So you're seeing Oklahoma stock on the rise. You're seeing UCLA stock really bottom out, given the fact that they scored a grand total of 28 points against Cincinnati and San Diego State through their first two games. You don't want to say it's a last stand for UCLA, because I think Chip Kelly has other issues that he's got to address with his team. Dusty, you referenced the quarterback play, and when you're soft at that position, not exactly the kind of opponent you want to face, knowing that Oklahoma can score from anywhere on the field. Jalen Hurts playing with a chip on his shoulder. Yet again, we're seeing crooked numbers put up by a starting quarterback in Lincoln Riley's system. There won't be home field advantage at all. This game going to be played in front of, like you said, probably a predominantly Oklahoma fan base. And I think it's definitely a spot where you want to be on the favorite or you don't want to touch it at all. This total, though, has been interesting. Open 66.5 out to 73, which tells me UCLA may do some scoring. I'm just not sure how many stops they'll get against the Sooners.
All right, I also fell in love with the Jets, but that was before this morning when Darnold was ruled out. Le'Veon Bell is kind of considered questionable in this game, but I didn't like what I saw from the Browns. Now the number's back on the board at 6, but I think Greg Williams' motivation in this game is significant. And you couple that with the Browns' offensive line issues, I thought taking the points in this game was a really good move.
And I'm with you here on this particular spot. I think as the number climbs up, the Jets become more and more attractive. Now, not only will Sam Darnold miss the game due to mono, Le'Veon Bell going to undergo an MRI. We're not sure about his availability, but I think Ty Montgomery can fill in. It's a little bit of a drop-off there, but not precipitous as people think. The bigger question here before you run to the window to back the Jets, make sure they're defensive stalwarts. And rookie Quinnen Williams is out there to anchor that defensive line, and that you're going to have C.J. Mosley, who's dealing with a little bit of a groin issue. You saw how much different the Jets looked in the first three quarters with Mosley out there as their signal caller versus how they performed in the fourth quarter when Buffalo had two 80-yard marches to win that game 17-16. But I do think the Jets are going to be a live underdog here. The Browns felt like a team that played extremely undisciplined football. I'm not sure you correct that in a week. And the fact that Odell Beckham Jr. is more concerned about wearing a $190,000 watch than helping cut down on two football fields worth of penalties, that's problematic. Give me the Jets as a home underdog against a franchise that's 3-29 straight up the last 32 on the road.
I want to go back to college. The Big 12 slate to me is very intriguing, and I'm actually upset because I've wrote down my picks earlier today, and this has already moved the wrong direction for me because it was Mississippi State -8. And I got to tell you, typically it's Mark who's backing teams from Kansas, but it's kind of me in this spot. I don't know if K-State is going to win this game, but Tommy Stevens, he's probable, but he's been banged up. I just don't know. They lost so much off that defense last year, a team that I saw a bunch of. I kind of feel like K-State can look much better than they did last year at home going on the road to Starkville. You see the Wildcats putting up a game here.
I do. I think Kansas State is going to be one of the most improved football teams in the country. Now, the problem I have with Kansas State, when they step up in class, they don't have the athletes to try and match up. So I think they're going to have a tough time matching up with some of the higher profile offenses in the Big 12 once they get into the heart of conference play. But what we've seen through the first couple weeks is a Chris Kleiman staple. They're going to hit you in the mouth. They're going to play physical football, and they're not going to beat themselves. And when you look at what this Mississippi State defense lost, as you alluded to, Dusty, they don't just replace NFL caliber talent in Starkville. Mississippi State hasn't played a murderer's row of their first two opponents. And with or without Tommy Stevens, I think this offense has some major question marks. I will say professional bettors have taken a very strong stance on this game going over the total. 46 is where it opened, up to 52. I think the dog is extremely live here. I think Kansas State has a chance to get revenge. Not only would I take the points, but I could see dabbling on the money line here as well.
Every year there's a couple of teams, maybe one, that Vegas is kind of wrong on, that out of nowhere they're better than people would expect. Is Maryland that team this year? I mean, they crushed the number against Syracuse last week, and they're going to Temple and laying 7. Is there enough adjustment to what the Terps are doing?
Well, this is a game that normally I would look to try and make a strong case to bet against Maryland, knowing how dominant they looked against the Syracuse Orange. The Orange, a team for me that I had not exactly so high on, and the more I watched Tommy DeVito, I probably underestimated the potential void at quarterback, making the transition away from Eric Dungy, who can make plays happen with his legs. But there's no doubt Maryland's offense has looked explosive in wins against Howard and Syracuse. They have revenge for a game they lost last year to Temple, 35-14, where they were a 15-point favorite. So that keeps me off the Temple side, but I can tell you one thing. I want no part of laying the full touchdown here. I think you're going to see this number come back off the 7 and tick down closer to 6.5. Let's see what Rod Carey has from a Temple offensive side. This will clearly be the best defense that Maryland has faced on the young season.
Mark had we had to pick an upset for the weekend. We were just talking yesterday, and I actually like where Mark went, especially the more I looked at it. What do you think about Florida as an 8-point favorite against Kentucky? Now, Kentucky lose their quarterback, but the backup, he played a lot last year, and actually the numbers, he might have played better than what Wilson did. So is Kentucky a live dog, or and at least do you like them catching over a touchdown at home?
You know, this is a strong number here, guys, and while I think Sawyer Smith is going to be a better downfield passer for this Kentucky offense, I have some real reservations if this Kentucky team is built for that kind of versatile passing attack. You look at Lynn Bowden, he is an electric playmaker when he gets the ball in space, but Terry Wilson really couldn't get the ball out quickly, and Kentucky, for me, a little bit lean on skill position talent. I had some concerns about Kentucky coming into this season, especially in their secondary, and we saw them struggle a little bit against Toledo before they found separation, and they weren't going to get tested by Chris Creighton's team last weekend in Eastern Michigan. It's rare that we can say in this matchup that Florida has revenge, but when you lose to a team for 30-plus years, all of a sudden, you get that big win. I think Florida comes in, they circle this game, and Felipe Franks in a vertical passing attack can have a little bit of success. This is a spot where I'd be more apt to sell Kentucky than I would be to back him as a home pup.
Okay, here's a game that I'm going to have as part of my picks this week. I'm playing against West Virginia until they show me they can do something. I just don't think they're good at all. I think they lost so much. It's a different coach for a different system. And NC State's kind of sneaky good. They've got NFL talent. They put a lot of guys in the NFL. They're well coached on offense. They're giving less than a touchdown. I don't care that the game's in Morgantown. So give me the Wolfpack, Todd.
Well,
you're
going
to agree with me for the third time. Then you're going to have to really maybe go get shock therapy.
I do love this Wolfpack defense. I'll say that much. I have some reservations about how they'll perform offensively with such a young quarterback. In his true first hostile territory, a game against East Carolina, that doesn't really count as a true road game, at least in my opinion. When you look at the way this game has been, Buckeyes, 5.5 up to 7, there was some resistance on the underdog there. Totals come down from 50.5 to 45.5. And I think West Virginia is one of those teams that, as you mentioned, Mark, is going to go through a change in identity. They have players suited to fit a very different system. And Coach Brown is going to get them headed in the right direction. It's just going to take some time. No strong opinion for me on the side, but I do like the game under. The problem is the total has been beat up a little bit too much, down a full 5 points.
All right, last one for me, and it's really the last Big 12 game that I care to talk about. But it's one of the more intriguing games to me of the weekend. TCU at Purdue. This number, as you would say, ping pong all over the place, opens with Purdue as a 2-point home favorite. It is now, I'm looking at scores and odds, TCU a 2.5-point road favorite. We don't know much about the Frogs. They had a week off to prepare for this one, but I do know Rondale Moore, he got going a week ago against Vanderbilt. I can't make my mind up on this. I want to lean TCU, but I'm just not sure.
Yeah, I think the big question here is what kind of scouting reports you have on Purdue's backup quarterback, who's expected to get the nod in place of Elijah Sindelar. Purdue looked to bounce back with a pretty impressive performance last weekend against Vanderbilt. Talked at great lengths about their game against Nevada and how that was kind of a fraudulent loss where they cratered late. So you look at Plummer, who could fill in, and that's part of the reason that you've seen this number move a full 5 points from Purdue, a 2.5-point favorite, to now a 2.5-point underdog. Should Sindelar get upgraded, you'll see money come in on Purdue. TCU is a team that I wanted to buy this season, but this particular spot, I want to take a wait-and-see approach. You mentioned, Dusty, the flip-flopping of the number and so many questions more so than answers. Honestly, guys, I wouldn't feel comfortable betting this game with your guys' money. I can tell you this Purdue defense, though, has some major questions now with Lorenzo Neal still remaining out and then losing Marcus Bailey, one of their anchors of their linebacking core.
All right, I got a doubleheader here. Two questions. I need a game that you like this weekend. Probably going to channel some of my thoughts already since we are so much in agreement on everything. And then tell me what's happening in Las Vegas.
Well, I may have to go back and
the Sooner fans may be coming out there to stop.
May have to recalibrate some of my numbers if you and I are seeing eye to eye, Mark. But I'll go to the NFL.
I
know I was bullish on the Buffalo Bills last weekend, and I think they pull off another victory this weekend in the exact same stadium. I look at this Giants team, and they have so many questions offensively. While Buffalo can't exploit them through the secondary, I think this Bills team is much better coached. They're more talented on both lines of scrimmage. And I have Josh Allen as a guy that I want to be on more often than not, knowing that Sean McDermott is the one kind of pulling the strings there. So I like Buffalo as a short road favorite at MetLife Stadium against the Giants. As far as lovely Las Vegas is concerned, You know, it's more or less status quo here. We had all the Arkansas State faithful come here and absolutely embarrass our UNLV running Rebs. We do have preseason Golden Knights hockey kicks off on Sunday, or they'll drop the puck.
Whoa.
Favorites now to win the Stanley Cup and the Western Conference, or at least represent that side of the draw. So the temperatures are cooling down. It's a little bit more of a football climate. We'll see what kind of excitement and trouble we can find.
Thanks, Todd. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Thanks, Todd.
Appreciate it. Boy, Todd.
Hey,
Todd is headed for the
now
bad,
wait a minute.
Bad rest of the day.
Oh, I mean, he was in lockstep with me on four. I've got five, six written down. He was in lockstep with me on four of those, and he agreed with you too. I mean, this
but
surely
the point this of
can't
this
be
is
right.
is that Todd considers you, as I do, a college football expert, and he considers me a schlep. I mean, I understand that. You know what I'm saying? So it is, I think, probably would be happy to agree with you. But when he agrees with me, Todd and I have known each other for a long time, Dusty. So I'm saying there's a lot of history here. I mean, some of these games that I
Understood.
Like usually don't go the way that I think.
Understood. Hey, you're 2-0 okay. on your locks, dude.
I will say this. Maybe it's a different year.
I will say, like, when you find a team that you know you can fade week in and week out, You ride that team until she bucks you. And you and I are kind of we're brothers in arms, and I think we were even before the year. But I thought before the season, and I only continue to even more so. It's going to be a long year in Morgantown, Mark. It's going to be a long year.
No question. It's a great day at Chapel Supply, though. Customer Appreciation Day. 39 years of business, man. There's been a lot of VIPs roll through here today. I got to see a bunch of people. We've got the free barbecue lunch here, special markdowns on all hot water pressure washers, gasoline generators in stock, portable air compressors in stock. Chapel Supply services everything they sell and on all other brands. So here's the important information. We're at 6509 West Reno Avenue in Oklahoma City. If you need to call them, 495-1722. If you need to find them online, chapelsupply.com. Our picks are coming up at 1 o'clock. Much more here on the Monsters of the Midday.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
Now, I will admit that I made fun of.
Oh, yeah?
I bet
I have something you don't have today.
I think you've probably sat in this chair before, but it's the Batman leather chair here at Chapel Supply. Great people, man. This is such a friendly place. Always enjoy coming out here to hang out with the Chapels. So Customer Appreciation Day, 39 years of business, one-day sale on tons of stuff here inside the store. So make it a point to come out and see us. Have a little free lunch, 6509 West Reno, chapelsupply.com.
Okay, now is as good a time as any. By the way, I feel like I'm going to go 5-0 this week, so that means I'm probably going 0-5. But I'm overly confident about my picks this week.
You've already made a pick.
I know. Now I'm wishing. Now I've got other ones I like more. And the problem is, we need to get these in here because some of my numbers are going the wrong way. Two of my games I wrote down this morning have already moved to point.
This
they're
morning they're going the wrong way.
They're going, the people are agreeing with me. The line is on my side. So, yeah, I need to get these picks in ASAP. Not good. But, Mark, yesterday.
Hey, Ravis.
I did.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I think we've got a dreaded delay. Anyway, no, I'm interested in hearing what you have to say.
Okay, what about now? Is it better now?
Go ahead. Okay. I don't know. As you were saying.
I'm just going to go. So yesterday I was on College Football Live and I was on with Todd McShay and Cassidy Hubbard, great people. And I didn't even realize it, but your boy had a slip of the tongue, Mark. It was brought to my attention on Twitter. It did? It came across?
Yes, it did. Yes.
Should I incriminate myself? Could I be liable for anything, or should I just zip it?
Are you saying it was an intentional S-bomb?
No.
Or an unintentional?
No. It was unintentional. I didn't even know I did it. I had no idea. I was just talking. But apparently,
sometimes,
I didn't properly
sometimes
enunciate.
It can... I think you dropped an S-bomb. No, I think it was unintentional. Sometimes words collide together in spaces in which you don't want them to do that. And sometimes if a word starts with an S and an H, and another where it starts with a T, they get slammed together. Like, did you ever see the people on Electric Company? This was probably before your time, but they had two silhouettes, and one person would say something, and the other person would say something, and then it formed a word, like two syllables?
No. No,
I
people
out there know
about.
What I'm talking about. This is a Google project for you during the break. But anyway, you collided one word with another word, and it ended up being an innocent S-bomb.
Yeah, so I was talking about Michigan's offense, and I was talking about their deficiencies on their offensive line and how it hasn't gone very well, and the producer was in my ear and basically told me to throw it to Todd. So, you know, these are – and we're working with like a three-second delay anyway. Not that it really came into play in this, but it's interesting because on television it's worse than radio if you have a delay, and you're supposed to be having like a back-and-forth conversation. Makes it very difficult to do. But I was saying that they have Wisconsin coming up in 2 weeks, and they need to right the ship,
to get their
Todd.
Together.
I said they need to right the ship, Todd, only I didn't get the p. It sounded more like a t. And I had no idea. So I did the show. Thought it was a good show. I got some good feedback, feeling good. Next thing I know, I get something on my Twitter feed from somebody that says, I heard that, Dusty Dvorak. And I'm like, you heard what? What did I do? I talk all the time. I don't know what the heck you heard. I don't know what you think you heard. And then he tells me, and then somebody posts it on Twitter, and my wife had recorded it, and we went back and watched it, and then my whole family is in the living room, mother-in-law and all, making fun of me for saying a T instead of a P. So...
I got you back, man. It was unintentional. You didn't mean to do it.
I had an oh ship moment yesterday on national television. My apologies.
I'll tell you this, but when you were gone last Friday, we had a DEFCON 2 moment that Matt Ravis saved us from. I can promise you that. Right, Matt?
Yeah, no, that is right. That is right.
Yeah,
right.
That was not an S bomb. That was a bigger bomb.
Well, Hugh Freeze inspired that reaction, so.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I kind of get it. I get it.
I guess I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you don't. But I have to tell you off the air. But okay. We almost had one of the seven deadly words uttered on the Monsters of the Midday.
Like all buck, he crushed it.
Those on the stream would understand. They know what I'm talking about. Just like the people that used to watch Electric Company, which by the way was garbage compared to Sesame Street.
Okay. Hey, Mark. Obviously, the huge news coming out yesterday. T. Boone Pickens passed away at 91 years old. And we don't have him very long. He's on vacation right now in Park City, Utah. But one of the most influential and important people in Oklahoma State football here in the last several decades, and somebody who knew Mr. Pickens well. We welcome to the show Mr. Brandon Wheaton. How you doing, Brandon?
Hey, Dusty. What's going on, bud?
Not much, man. Thanks for taking a few minutes out. But I was texting with you. I never met T. Boone Pickens, but I know you did. And just maybe if you could share with us and our listeners just – type of guy he was, what he meant to you, just the impact he had on Oklahoma State athletics.
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate enough to become, you know, honestly closer to him over the past 5-6 years, especially during my time when I was with the Cowboys in Dallas. Obviously, he's got a, you know, that's where he lives and spends most of his time. But, yeah, I mean, I tell everybody from the first time you meet him, I mean, you're immediately a better person. I mean, he's one of the most compassionate, giving, obviously, competitive people that I've ever met. I mean, he's obviously, he was very, experienced a lot in his 91 years. I mean, the guy went through you a lot and did a lot of great things. So, again, I'm very fortunate to call him a friend and he, like I said, a guy I cared a lot about, and he obviously did a lot for Oklahoma State and for that football program. And we're very, you know, very blessed to, we were very blessed to have him, you know, be such a good leader for us.
What was his interaction with you like, Brandon? Was it more sports related or in just general kind of friendly and outside of sports? Did you ever get a chance to go spend time at his ranch?
Yeah, you know, I had a couple dinners with him when I was in Dallas. And that, you know, he wanted to talk Oklahoma State football. It was kind of a time when we were kind of scuffling a little bit, and you know, he wanted to, you know, just kind of pick my brain on some things that were going on. And then he invited me out 4 or 5 times to go to the ranch, and I'd never been able to do it until this past spring. I went out in April, me and I think there were 7 or 8 former players he invited out there to spend some time, go fishing, just kind of kick back and relax. And I'm very glad I did that because, you know, we got to spend a lot of time with him. You know, we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner with him. You know, I think it was the Final Four that was on at the time. Maybe it was March, I can't remember. But it was, you know, we spent a lot of time with him. You know, he told stories and you know, those are times I'll cherish forever.
How awesome was that ranch, man? I've heard stories. I heard it's pretty unbelievable.
You can have it for a smooth $250. It's incredible. I mean, I drove out there, and it's obviously in Pampa, and from the time I pulled in the gate till I actually got to one of his lodges, it was a 30-minute drive. I mean, this place is huge, man. There's houses, and I mean, I can fit 4 of my houses into one of their houses they don't even use. It's a pretty remarkable place. I don't think I caught a bass under 2 pounds, and I caught about 40 fish that day. So that tells you how good the fishing is. But it's a special place. You know, I wish I could have made it out there more than just that one time.
Now wait a minute. You've got 4 houses that would equal up to one of Boone's ranches. That's a big ball. That's kind of a humble brag, right there. Is that what you meant?
No. Well, this thing. No, that's not what I meant. I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I was just checking.
These things, you can get lost in these things. I mean, it's they're out. They're amazing. I mean, he's got a lake house. He calls it. It's got a little pond out front. And, I mean, this thing, I literally did get lost in it. I mean, it's a pretty spectacular place.
All right, last one for me, and then we'll let you go. We were just kind of talking today, just, you know, his impact, and I mean, players, coaches, they obviously do it on the field. But is it fair to say that without T. Boone Pickens, that Oklahoma State football wouldn't have reached the heights that it currently is as a perennial top 25 program of college football? I mean, do you look back? I mean, as you look now at this program, is it fair to say that he's as influential and as important as anyone else that's been a part of it?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think, you know, I got there in 07, and that was kind of when it was all, you know, they started building the West End Zone. That's when it became, obviously, Boone Pickens Stadium. And, you know, growing up as a kid, you obviously remember Lewis Field, and it wasn't the best stadium, it just wasn't very good. So, you know, between the facilities and, you know, all the moves they've done with the you know, locker rooms and meeting rooms and weight room, I mean, it's all first class, and, you know, obviously he's the reason it's like that. So all those things are a reason that obviously we got better players and made a climb and put ourselves on the map, you know, within the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. So I mean, he was, in my opinion, single-handedly the most important person in the entire university at that time, because he, you know, obviously the funds he gave kind of put us on the map. So, we'll forever be, you know, fortunate that he was as giving as he was. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, was he around a lot? And he really wasn't. You know, he wasn't like an NFL owner or something. He came around every once in a while, but, you know, he let the guys do their jobs, and he just wanted to win. He wanted to win, and you know, fortunately we got a Big 12 championship while he was alive, and I think that meant a lot to him.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. We appreciate it, man. We'll catch up with you when you get back. Always great to talk to you. Thanks for your thoughts.
Thanks, buddy.
Brandon Weeden, Oklahoma State legend, quarterback. We've got to take a break. I'm at Chop Supply. Picks are next. Stay tuned.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma versus UCLA is live on...
This is bedroom music. There's a furry or two in there.
It's not my bedroom. I'm just saying that, like, old school. Matt Bravis doesn't know what a VHS tape is.
Yes,
but
I do. Be kind, rewind.
I might have, well done.
He does.
Anyway, let's not get too far off the beaten path here. It's time to make our picks. We're making you cash, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Step on up. Place your bets. But before we make this week's picks, we have to read the ledger, which would have Mark Rogers undefeated in the league, 2-0, in his locks of the week. Matt Ravis, 1-1, with a excellent pick of Army last week, and myself bringing up the 0-2 and my locks of the week backdoored both weeks. Don't like it. This music was not friendly to me, but in our overall picks, I am in the lead for what would be a 5th consecutive year. It's early, but don't worry, it's only going to continue. 6-4 after a 4-2 week. Mark Rogers, 5-5. Matt Ravis, 5-5. So we're all above the Mendoza line in our overall picks. We'll be picking the state schools to start things off. I guess I'll go ahead and get her kick started because I made this pick on Tuesday thinking the number would move. It did not. So really, I did myself no favors. But I was going to pick Oklahoma anyway. Don't know if it'd still be my lock, but I'm not going to go back on it. Oklahoma minus 23.5. My five-star fence lock of the week and my pick in that matchup. It's pretty simple for me. I just think that this UCLA offense is inept right now. The offensive line has really struggled, and they've turned it over way too much. They've given up 16 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, and they've turned it over 6 times in 2 games. That is exactly what Alex Grinch's defense produces. So when you've already got a team susceptible to that, it's going to tell me that's going to happen for the Oklahoma defense this week. Though I do think this is the best challenge that the Oklahoma offense has seen, probably by quite a bit, I don't think it's going to matter too much. I like the Sooners covering the 23.5. Marcus, what you got?
OU, minus 23.5. Matt?
That's right. Yeah, not much more I can add. Dusty, you broke it down pretty well, so give me OU as well, minus 23.5.
Okay, moving on. Tulsa, Oklahoma State. I'm just waiting for Mark to call it an upset and call for the outright win. Though I don't share his feelings that this could be an upset, I am going to take the Tulsa Golden Hurricane plus the 14 for all the reasons we've talked about all week. I do like that front seven. And I do have questions about the Oklahoma State defense. So I think Tulsa's going to be able to score some, and I think they're going to be able to slow down Oklahoma State from what we've seen the first 2 weeks, but not enough. We got a 34-21 Oklahoma State, which would be a Tulsa 14-point cover. Mark?
As sure as somebody's tickling the ivories on this electric keyboard, Tulsa's going to cover this number. Matter of fact, it's my TNW Tire Lock of the Week.
Woo!
Too many points. I've been on the right side of Oklahoma's, right side of the Oklahoma State game, lock of the week in week one. I want to be on the right side of the Oklahoma State game here in week three. Take the Golden Hurricane, and it will be to the wire. Tulsa in it to win it against Oklahoma State.
Lockstep so far, guys. I think I'm with you here. Oklahoma State has covered 5 of the last 6 games. That's all they do is cover. I think I'm going to go with Oklahoma State on this one, actually.
Whoa!
So dropping out, I said we were in lockstep. Actually, I meant dropping out of lockstep.
Okay, I was like, whoa, you just threw it.
Yes, no, I threw a monkey wrench in there. I'm going to go with the Oklahoma State side of this. Minus 14.
Okay. I would be closer to that than I am. So, Mark, give me a score. Like you said, it's coming down to the wire. Like, you're talking Spencer Sanders, ball in his hand, game-winning drive type thing?
30-27.
Wow.
Oklahoma State.
Ooh, a thriller in T-Town. Okay. Next up, Matt Ravis, you're going to have to start us off because you need to give your TNW Tire Lock of the Week.
That is right. I do need to give my Lock of the Week. I'm going to go with an NFL game. I know it's going to scare Mark off. I'm going to go with the Cowboys minus 6 over the Redskins. The Redskins seemed like a whole lot scarier in that first half. And then in the second half, that secondary is trash. Cowboys are going to light them up. And I think that they win by 2 touchdowns in this one.
He said it's trash, man. Trash, man. Okay, I hope you're right. I will be rooting for your 5-star fence Lock of the Week. And just so we know exactly what we're talking about, I've got Oklahoma minus 23.5. Mark has Tulsa plus 14. Matt Ravis, the Dallas Cowboys at minus 6 for our 5-star fence Locks of the Week.
Was that the climax?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Starting back
I'm going to Iowa State. Give me the Cyclones. I've already broke this game down earlier today. And I had no idea that our man, Todd Furman, liked Iowa State. The more I thought about it, how much this means to the Iowa State program, to Matt Campbell, to continue on this incline that they're on. They're on a path, man. They're on a path to greatness. Can't let the Hawkeyes get in the way. I think it's going to be a good game. Old school throwback. Not for you fantasy football high-scoring lovers. This could be a game that's, I don't know, 2017? Real football. Iowa State wins it. I'll take them plus a 1.5.
West Virginia is the moonshine capital of the United States. Jake Trotter said you can smell it when you arrive in Morgantown. And that's a good thing because the West Virginia fans are going to need plenty of moonshine this year. They eked out a victory in week one against one of the founding fathers. I can't remember which one.
James Madison.
Hammered last week. Thank you. Hammered last week against Missouri. And they're going to get hammered this week against a wolf pack of 11, NC State. I'm going to lay the 6.5 with NC State over West Virginia.
At least the fans will be able to get hammered, too, in the moonshine. You know,
there's
a bunch of hammering going on.
I just hope they act responsibly, because I know those guys get crazy. But I'm also picking on the same side of this game. West Virginia is bad. That line, or that spread, cannot be high enough. 1.1 yards per carry for the Mountaineers this season, by the way.
Hey.
Oh, so you want the 6.5 as well, huh?
Yes, I do.
Let's just make it a threesome. Let's make it a threesome, because it's on my sheet, too. I'm all Big 12 games this week. I'll go ahead and tell you. As I said to you earlier, had a six-pack of Big 12 games written down. NC State was definitely on it, I'm telling you. Until West Virginia proves otherwise, I'm going to fade them like a haircut, baby. Give me the Wolfpack. Minus 6.5.
All right, I got two more games, and I'm going to take a page out of the playbook of Matt Ravis. I'm going to go to Sunday. I'm going to go to the NFL because it is a light slate of college football. I want to take the Detroit Lions as a home dog against the San Diego, now Los Angeles Chargers, who have more injuries than they can shake a stick at. Hunter Henry's now out. Had some injuries in training camp. Phillip Rivers is nice. I think the Lions are going to be fired up. They got a really good defensive front. I don't think Austin Eckler is going to be hurdling anybody in the Silverdome. So give me the Lions plus 2.5.
Rawr! Rawr! How you like that? How you like them apples?
It was a lot better than your horse impression.
By the way, where is Horse Lady?
Still have not heard a peep. Or a neigh, I guess.
I have not heard a neigh. I told you I liked this one earlier. I talked about it with Todd. I can't believe Mark's not on this. I don't know what's going on here. I thought for sure when I wrote this down, I thought there would be two games Mark and I agreed on. NC State and Kansas State. Look, I want to love Mississippi State. I really do. Joe Moorhead's a nice guy. He really is. I just think they've lost too much on defense, and I still don't think they figured out his offense. They snuck by Louisiana Lafayette in week number one. That's right. Snuck by them. Was a way closer game than what anybody would have anticipated. Then they play Southern Miss last week, and yeah, a little more impressive, but still, I think a little bit less to be desired. So, I don't know if Kansas State's going to win this game in Starkville. I called the game last year. I watched it with these two eyes, and it was a butt-whooping. I mean, a butt-whooping in Manhattan. I just think they actually know their quarterback is this year in Skylar Thompson. Last year, it was like one guy's in, one guy's out. That Mississippi State team was way better on both sides of the ball, especially the line of scrimmage. We know they lost three first-round picks on defense. It's not talked about enough. The center that they lost, who was a second-round pick and easily could have been a first-round pick. I just don't think they're the same team this year. Tommy Stevens, a quarterback who transferred from Penn State, he's already been nicked up. Kansas State, they were catching 8 when I wrote it down today. It's already to 7. I grab it now before it gets under a touchdown. Give me the Wildcats on the road in Starkville catching a tug.
Two games, both with 7-point spreads. Really like Maryland. They're undervalued. They're given 14 last year to Temple, and now this year they're given 7 after killing people. I mean, that's a bonus pick for me. But I'm going to go to the NFL on Monday night. And I can't rip the Browns all week without following through on taking the Jets. Last I knew, there's no mono on the defensive side of the football. Hopefully they weren't drinking out of the same water trough that Sam Darnold was, because I think that defense is going to wreak havoc on the Browns' offensive line. And Greg Williams, He wants to win that game more than anybody. Give me the Jets. J-E-T-S plus 7.
I was waiting for that one. I kind of wanted to, make that pick, but the injury situation with Le'Veon Bell.
7, you're getting 7 points.
I know.
Whoa. 7 already? I thought it was 6.
I think it's 7.
Wow.
Keeps going that way. I want to mean the honor of this contest.
I know you would.
Line, it's not accurate.
I'm just saying, earlier when we were talking about it in 11 o'clock hour, 6. People hammering
He's
the Browns.
He's next again.
Matt Ravis, you have one more pick.
I do have one more pick, and I'm going to go with a friend of the show, coach of the Mean Green, Seth Luttrell.
Yeah!
Texas. Plus 14 over California. Cal coming off the emotional, very, very weather-delayed victory.
10-3 game?
What's up?
See a 10-3 game here or something? 13-6?
I don't know that
North Texas got to score much.
I don't think it's going to be that quite low scoring, but I do believe in their passing attack. I have faith in Mason Fine. This may be a game where Cal gets up early, but I believe that North Texas can stay in this one. All they got to do is get within 14 points. So give me North Texas plus 14 over Cal.
I'll be rooting for it. I actually looked at that one. I thought about it, and I thought, I don't know, man. Justin Wilcox. Now, in a steel cage match, all day, every day, Seth Luttrell's taking out Justin Wilcox. I ain't no doubt. As a matter of fact, Seth Luttrell, Mark, if you had to wager right now, could you find a coach that you would pick in the octagon to take over Seth Luttrell? I don't think I could.
Yeah, I don't know who it was. Was it Colin Cowherd? Somebody's show called Seth the meanest, toughest coach in Division I.
Ah, I did not see that. I'll have to find that. Oh, he is. I just don't know if his football, that's going to be tough. But I like where your logic's at. Maybe they get the outright win. That would be outstanding. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Best of luck with your betting. Please be responsible. Don't go wager your house payment on these picks. But I'm feeling good about them. Just not saying,
except
just
this
saying.
This week, put your house on the line.
Feeling pretty good about it. Feeling pretty good. Mark, where you at today? Look at Blaine Brown. Picks are already up. This guy, I'm going to tell you what.
He's a machine.
We don't give Blaine Brown enough credit. Like, obviously, you hear Mark and myself and Matt Ravis. I mean, there's three prongs to this show. But if there's a fourth prong, if we have a fourth leg, it's Blaine Brown. Well done, sir. Picks already posted on Twitter. Marcus, where you at?
Chapel Supply and Equipment, 6509 West Reno, chapelsupply.com. 2 P's, 2 L's. We have a customer appreciation today. It is awesome. Highly recommend you get by and see us. Still have a little bit of food left, a little bit of barbecue that is complimentary. And, again, just come see how friendly they are. They're going to take great care of you. 39 years of business. I mean, there's a reason they're in business 39 years. They service everything they sell and all other brands here at Chapel Supply. Stay tuned. More of the Monsters coming up.
The Morning Animals.
But you did see Dylan Fa'amatu come back.
All right, Marcus.
No, there is NFL,
the
though.
NFL. I know.
Can't wait to see how many points Christian McCaffrey rolls up on the Buccaneer defense tonight.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. I was going to go to the NFL. We've been very college heavy, and we haven't really gotten into many of the matchups in the National Football League. Boy, Christian McCaffrey, he was a fantasy maven week one, wasn't he? I mean, he
I don't
sure
think
seems
that's
like
a one week
primed.
Deal.
It almost feels like he's about to do in the NFL what he was doing those last 2 years at Stanford, Mark.
Matt, what do you think?
I was just going to say, he's running between the tackles. We didn't expect that from him at all. We knew he could catch passes, but he's running between the tackles.
He's one of the elite running backs in the NFL. There's no equivocation on it.
But, I mean, I guess I would just say, that doesn't shock me, though, Matt, because he was doing that in college.
Right. No,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, at Stanford, they run power until the cows come home with him. And that's what makes him so, I think, unique, is he isn't big in stature, but he plays bigger than he is, and he's got such good vision and the ability to make you miss. Like, if he gets a safety or a back or one-on-one in the hole, he has no problem being able to make a miss. And just to throw out his numbers from last week, to Mark's point, 19 carries for a buck 28, 2 touchdowns, 6.7 a clip. And then he had 10 grabs for 81 yards. Gosh. 200 total yards, 2 touchdowns, and 10 catches if you're in a PPR league. pretty impressive.
It's a big number.
Any kind of trade anybody could make to sway you and be able to pry McCaffrey from your team?
I thought about offering him up in a trade today in one of my leagues is because I don't have a whole lot of else. I mean, there's some really bad injury situations, but it's going to have to be three good players in return. But probably best off not doing it.
I would not trade him if he was on my team. Now, I would love to get him. Somebody'd like to trade him to me.
I'm kind of the mindset, if you get the best player, you usually win the trade.
Yeah, I would agree. How about this? I told you my sons are in a league. And they got a phone call yesterday from the ticket son, Marcus, big ticket son, and little Marshall. And he calls, he puts on speaker, he calls my phone. He says, hey, can I talk to Hudson, my 7-year-old? I was like, yeah, you can talk to Hudson. And he says, hey, Hudson, I'd like to trade you Tyreek Hill for Saquon Barkley. I looked at Hudson. I was like, no way, dude. And then he goes, okay. What about Le'Veon Bell? Hudson has Saquon and Le'Veon. What about Le'Veon Bell for Tyreek Hill? And he goes, you know, Hudson, Tyreek Hill is the fastest player in the NFL. I looked at Hudson. I go, no, absolutely not. How about that? Kids wheeling and dealing in fantasy. I was like, dude, he's hurt, Hudson. And I said, Hudson goes, I think he's hurt, Marshall. And he goes, dang it. I'm going to have to call somebody else in the league. They won't know. How about that? Kids out there trying to swindle other kids in fantasy football. That would have been the worst trade in the history.
That is dirty.
Wouldn't that be terrible? What? Because Hudson might not even have known. What if he would have traded Le'Veon Bell for a hurt Tyreek Hill? Ah, these kids these days always try to get over on someone else. I like Carolina tonight, Marcus. I like Carolina quite a bit. It's almost a touchdown spread for the Panthers.
Yeah, it's kind of getting down to the brass tacks for Jameis Winston. I mean, I don't know how many more games he can keep throwing pick sixes or multiple interceptions. This game's on the road, and the Bucs were kind of thought of a team this year that was really going to throw it around and garner a bunch of fantasy points. So we'll see if we get that tonight or not. But Bruce Arians is too good a coach for Tampa not to figure it out. I'm not sure that he can make Jameis Winston into a really good NFL quarterback, but even if he doesn't accomplish that, I think he'll figure out something that's going to help this team.
I would agree with that. Okay, going down the slate here, New England, Miami. Hey, do we have an update on Antonio Brown? He practiced yesterday. Fantasy owners such as myself are going to be in a bit of a predicament, I think. You think that until we get official word, you just rest easy with Antonio Brown? What are your thoughts on that, guys?
If you've got an option, somebody else, I mean, you've got to play somebody else.
Well, I do. I'm chalked full.
Somebody's going to score a bunch of touchdowns this week for the Patriots. It's the typical New England deal. You just never know who's going to be scoring the touchdowns.
He's projected 14 points. So I mean, they're projecting him to play. I don't know. To me, each day you wake up and you don't quite know what's going to happen with the Antonio Brown saga. I could play Calvin Ridley, but I don't know. Antonio Brown. I'll have to be a wait and see approach. That's not going to be much of a game. Arizona, Baltimore. I'm worried for Cliff and I'm worried for Kyler in this one. Mark in Baltimore, that could be a bloodbath.
Would you fire Marquise Brown into your lineup? Speaking of Browns, Marquise Brown's not going to score 20 touchdowns this year. I'm just saying is that there's got to be a little bit of regression from last week.
Yeah,
Ravis.
Well, even Tyreek Hill, I mean, is a guy who is obviously, whenever he's healthy, is going to score you big-time points 1 week and is going to be down the next week. I think with Marquise Brown, Mikey, kind of the same thing. He's going to break off some big plays, but, I mean, depending on who you have, I think you have to put him in there at this point. I just don't know if you can expect that same kind of performance once again.
No. Also, from Lamar Jackson, though, Lamar Jackson continues to do what he does, and he didn't even run last week. I don't think they needed him to, but he could be up there in a lot of drafts. He wasn't even picked to a guy that is an elite tier one quarterback.
The guy I think that you definitely want from that team is Mark Andrews, because I think he will be a constant. Because I think
I've got him. He's available in a lot of leagues, too.
That's the safety net. That's the security blanket for Lamar, right? Those short intermediate throws, middle of the field, We saw that toward the end of last year.
Snaps and targets were incredible. Like, he had low snaps, but an incredibly high amount of targets. So I think he's a guy, if you don't have him, you need to pick him
up.
That's
definitely a good sign. I agree.
Yeah. No, I think, now, what I would say, though, on Marquise Brown is you can't expect him. What did he have, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns on 4 catches or something? I don't have it pulled up in front of me. But
that sounds right.
I mean,
he had 4 catches.
He's not going to do that every week, but I think what you saw is he is going to stretch the defense, and he is going to be a guy who's going to make plays in the NFL. So I think at this point, yeah, you're going to have to play him until Lamar Jackson, this offense, shows you at least otherwise. Here's an interesting matchup, Mark. I'm really intrigued by this, and I would not have thought so. San Francisco at Cincinnati. I kind of like the Bengals here. He's impressed with Zach Taylor in his debut, even though it was a losing effort against Seattle. But I don't know Joe Mixon's status. I don't know if he's been ruled out. He's questionable right now. A.J. Green is out. But I kind of like Cincinnati to beat San Francisco at home this week.
It's kind of the second game in the Eastern time zone for a West Coast team. I don't know if they stayed there. Here's a kind of a quandary that I have is that you saw all the yards that Andy Dalton threw for last week in Seattle, which seems really impressive. And Ben Roethlisberger with hot garbage on Sunday night. But I've got Roethlisberger in a few leagues, and I don't want to, but I got to fire him out there because as a past Roethlisberger owner, he's just a different quarterback at home than he is on the road. And if Andy Dalton can throw for 4 bills against the Seahawks, then Big Ben's going to do that on Sunday in Pittsburgh. So I had picked up Andy Dalton in a couple of leagues, but I'm actually not going to play him. I think the Steelers bounce back pretty significantly this week against the Seahawks.
That's a great front seven, but their secondary is not very good at all in Seattle.
No, it's not. It's not the Legion of Boom anymore. Those times, they are a gone.
I think that's the right choice, Mark. I think Ben is the right choice.
I'm curious about this. Is James Washington, like, very curious his game last week. He wasn't even out there.
They didn't target him enough.
Vance
Dante
McDonald,
Moncrief.
Another
Get
guy.
Him out.
No, another guy. So it was an odd game plan for Pittsburgh, and I'm curious to see if those guys can kind of thrive this week or if it's the possibility at the beginning of the season is when you lose Antonio Brown in 7 years of 100-plus catches, that ain't easy to replace.
I also think it kind of speaks to – because James Washington lit it up in the preseason, but who was throwing the ball, guys? It was Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph.
Is that more that – you know, that connection they have, that trust they have between one another, and maybe Ben's not there. I would say he needs to be because James Washington could play. Get that man the football. Here's an interesting matchup, both from a fantasy and I just think overall. And I try to only pick college games. I mean, I watch too much tape and look at it too much for that not to be where I'm at least going to make an educated guess. But if I would have picked an NFL game, I would have picked Minnesota getting 3 at Green Bay. I think Minnesota wins this game, but what intrigues me about it is Aaron Rodgers, who didn't do much against that Bears defense, now he's got to face a very stingy Minnesota defense that shut down Atlanta. And then also on the flip side of that, Dalvin Cook coming off a game where he put up, I think, 115 and 2 touchdowns against the Green Bay defense that was pretty darn stingy in week number 1. So interesting matchups from fantasy and also probably one of the best games of the weekend.
Hey, if the Packers win at Chicago and against Minnesota in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season, there will be no one that's off to a better start than Green Bay.
Agree.
Two division wins, one on the road? I would pick – I think this is a tough one for me because I think Minnesota is the better team, but I'm kind of interested to see what the home field does for Green Bay. Probably, Dusty, it's a good choice to go with Minnesota. I think you're probably right.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook, it'll be intrigued to see what he does there.
The converse of that would be this, is that I know that the Broncos were really bad on Monday night, but a short week for the Broncos and a long week for the Bears, and I think the Bears with that defense – and what I saw from Oakland's defense on Monday night, the Bears, to me, are an easy pick to bounce back. Of the two teams that are going to bounce back, I don't think the Mile High Magic is going to be there. And I fully admit this is an overreaction, but Vic Fangio did not strike me as a guy that's ready to be a head coach.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this, and I say this with all due respect, because truth be told, he's one of my all-time favorite NFL players. But if Vic Fangio, if it doesn't work out, you got to start to look at John Elway and his decision-making.
I agree.
Right? Because outside of being able to get Peyton Manning, now, and he did make some good draft picks. I'm not going to say it's all been bad. But when you look at the quarterback decisions he's made, and via the draft or going to get in Case Keenum last year, and when you now look at, was it Vance Joseph? That was not a good hire. And if Vic Fangio is a bad hire as well, I mean, again, I know it's probably sacrilegious to say that about John Elway and anything. He can do everything and anything in that state. I get it. And he can drink Coors Original with the best of them. Love me some John Elway. But, Mark, I mean, at what point do you have to start kind of thinking, does this guy know what the hell he's doing up there?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, last one for me of the weekend. My game. What do you think about my game? Rams hosting Saints.
Rams were a lot better last week than I thought they'd be. I give them credit. There's a big win on the road. And the Saints also, you know, one less day to prepare. I don't know. I'm not really comfortable picking a side of that. I think it's going to be a great game. I think the Rams looked better of the two teams last week.
Is there a mental edge for the Rams, knowing what happened last year in the playoffs?
I don't think so. I mean, how does that give them a mental edge? They really
just maybe the if Saints, it clouds the minds of the Saints.
I mean, the Saints. If you watched, I mean, the Saints put themselves
like
in position
an ex-girlfriend.
To win.
The Rams are in the Saints' head.
They were so close.
Interesting, some symmetry here. The Rams win 30-27. The Saints win 30-28. I think it's going to be a great game. I would actually, I don't know. I probably lean the home team, but I think it's going to be an all-time classic. I can't wait to get in the booth and call that game with my man Adam Amin. Mark Rogers is at a great place. I always love hanging out with the folks at Chapel Supply. Mark, what's going on today?
Come get yourself a pressure washer here at 6509 West Reno, chapelsupply.com. And today is the best day of the year to do it because it's Customer Appreciation Day. 39 years of doing great business here at Chapel Supply. We've still got some door prizes and giveaways, and they service everything they sell. All other brands. Do you know Chapel Supply has generators and air compressors for all industries? If you have a work truck or a whole shop you're trying to outfit, call Chapel Supply for your generator or air compressor needs at 405-495-1722. We return to wrap up the Monsters next.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
My former teammate, he's laughing. Cal Ripken.
Movement, yeah. Man, right. Coverage, aggressiveness. We knew exactly what Alex Jones was going to do. They've done it well. I have been impressed. I think Neville Gallimore's played well, Mark. Ronnie Perkins. How can you not like what Kenneth Murray's done? That needs to continue this week, right? You know, it's one thing to do it against South Dakota, Houston, and this is a UCLA team that their offensive line is not very good. So I think that should and needs to continue. And I have liked seeing Jalen Redmond when he's been in. He's been productive. Marcus Stripling, all these different guys. Laron Stokes has done a solid job in there for Calvin Thibodeau. I thought Deshaun White played pretty well last week, coming downhill, making some plays. So all those things are good. And, you know, I think the one area this week for me, Mark, this is the one thing, this is the most important thing, in my opinion, as they get ready for this UCLA offense, is this is more of a mental challenge, I think, than a physical challenge. And I say that because if you've watched any of UCLA's games this year, they still do a lot of motioning, shifting, use their personnel in different ways. And when they do that, you've got to adjust, you got to bump, you got to slide, you got to move some guys around. So just from a mental standpoint, being in the right position, you hear it all the time, alignment, assignment, it will be important against UCLA because Chip Kelly wants to try to get you misaligned, wants to try to get you not to properly adjust, and if they do, then that's when they could have the potential to maybe hit some plays. If they're able to get the mental aspect down, and adjust properly to the motion shifts, to what a lot of people will call window dressing, then I think the Oklahoma defense should be able to have quite a bit of success.
Well, DTR has been six turnovers responsible for the season. And so if the Oklahoma
DTR's been BAD.
If they're going to be a new defense and they're going to force turnovers, this is the week that it should show up.
Yep. That's right.
I don't know what to think in this game. I just UCLA is – they're not a good team. But they do have some good players. And so defensively, can they slow down Oklahoma? And I don't mean – when I'm saying slow down, can they keep them under 40?
Right.
I mean, that's going to be a challenge, but – I think UCLA, if there was ever a point for them to make a stand and you know, play well, just throw all caution to the wind, it would be this week.
I'm with you. No, there's no doubt. I would expect they're going to go into it, the mindset to give their best effort. But, oh, man, they've never lost to San Diego State in the history of the school, Mark, until last week. They also, I don't have the number in front of me, but I was reading, it's been like 50 years since they started 0-2. It has not been a good start to the season for Chip Kelly. Let's hear Lincoln Riley on facing the UCLA Bruins.
Like us or College Game Day or anybody who does picks is going to say, oh, yeah, Oklahoma, they're going to roll UCLA. Their next hard game is Texas. That's what we do. We pick and choose which we think the hard games are going to do. You have to get 18 to 21-year-olds excited every single week to play. So when we're all saying, oh, they're going to blow this team out, maybe this will be a hard game, they're going to blow this team out, how do you coach these guys or what are the ways you coach them to make them understand every week has to be a big week for you?
Well, that's a challenge here. You know, when you come to a place like this, you got to understand. I mean, every home game is a big game. Every away game is that team's biggest game of the season. You know, and then your neutral site games against Texas and bowl games and championship games are all big games, and you're going to get everybody's best shot. And UCLA is certainly a team that you know, you look at your record and maybe, you know, you think one thing, but when you turn on the tape, these guys have players and we know they have proven outstanding coaches. So we realize the challenge it's going to be, you know, we get that every week. And if we're not at our best, we can get exposed. And so, you know, our guys, you know, hopefully we've had some old guys that have been through the fire and learned that a little bit and we can pass that on to the young guys. But this will be a new challenge for this team going on the road for the first time and playing a team like this. And we'll have to play well. I mean, that's the reality. You don't play well this day and age in college football. I don't care who you are. You can get beat.
That is true. You do need to play well. And I do think UCLA will be a better defense, but I don't see it. I'm not seeing it for this one. Their defense has held Cincinnati to 24. They held San Diego State to 23. But this Oklahoma offense under Lincoln Riley's guidance is a completely different monster.
I don't think Coach B was real happy last week. Caught a few
penalties. No, he wasn't.
On the offensive line.
Did you see any of those clips? I think I saw it on Soonerscoop.com. I think I saw it on their Twitter feed. My boy Bill, man, he was you knowing. He gave about six you knows in about 25 seconds. That's when you know a coach is pissed off. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
He was upset.
He was getting after, which is good, man, because that means hopefully that's a trickle down. Hopefully that means it was a tough week of practice. I think that to me that's not always a bad thing. You can hang 70 on somebody. And your coach is still fired up and very upset with the way his guys play. They got to cut the holding penalties out, man. Four holding penalties in the first quarter, that's just too much.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay. Also, I don't know if we have it. Do we have the Lincoln Riley on the NFL, Matt? Okay. Also, Lincoln Riley, who's on Golic Wingo this morning? And I know Sooner fans, one thing that we're worried about. That's why you need to be Kellen Moore, even if you don't like the Cowboys. Woo, Kellen Moore, let's go, offense. He was asked about potential of dipping his toe into the NFL.
Not right now. You know, in the future, honestly, very hard to say. But certainly don't feel that at all right now. I mean, I'm at a place that I think I've got one of the best jobs in football, period, at any level. And very, very happy here. My family's happy here. We've got a good thing going and a lot of big goals in front of us. So I'm excited about coaching Oklahoma, and I think that's where it's going to stay.
I buy that, Mark. I really do. I don't know if it's forever. You know, as he said, not right now, but he does have a good thing going. And
hey, with what he's
got
built. with what he's built at
OU right now.
Yeah, with what he's built at OU, it's a better job than a lot of NFL jobs, maybe most. So I would say
it's a better job than, what do you think, 80%, 85% of NFL jobs?
Yeah, but I mean, like, even some, like, you say, okay, well, you could go replace Bill Belichick. There's no reason to want to do that. I think that's.
You don't want to do that.
No, I don't think so either. Dallas Cowboys make a lot of sense. Pittsburgh Steelers would make a lot of sense.
Yep.
There's a
few franchises that if they came a calling, you'd have to at least think about it.
Yeah.
But from a money standpoint, Oklahoma can pay them, you know, close to on par what NFL coaches make. And I would say, as much as anything, just the. You know, your stability, having your job. I mean, like, right? I mean, the NFL, players, coaches alike, not for long. In college, you get something rolling, you get it going like he has it right now at Oklahoma, you can sit in that job for a very, very long time. Mark, it's always a pleasure. We love Thursday, Fridays. One more time about the fine folks at Chapel Supply.
Yes, I love the folks here at Chapel Supply. It's always a great time to hang out. Customer Appreciation Day here. If you need a pressure washer, call them. Anything on their website, you can visit as well. 39 years in business. Congratulations to them for doing such a great job for such a long time. We highly recommend the people at Chapel Supply, chapelsupply.com.
Very nice. 21-hour break here on the Monsters of the Midday.
On Westwood One Podcast Network.
This is Ian Rappaport. Join my